The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, an important aspect of Buddhism is not selfing. We realize that we're constantly changing through our lives. There's no one self to cling to. And yet there is a presence called awareness, which is a witness to everything that happens to us in life. It is the one who hears our thoughts, the one who sees an emotion arising, and knows that there are sensations in the body that might be pleasant or painful. And it is this consciousness that sees the rising and passing of these things, the thoughts, emotions, and sensations in the body, and yet are not any of those things. And this presence can be here for anything and everything without getting pulled in. But it's not just an aloof, uncaring presence. It is a calm and caring, loving, connected awareness that can hold all without becoming entangled and imbalanced. So this awareness can also witness all of our many varied parts. We're like a matryoshka doll with our younger selves nested inside the older selves. And we don't leave any of these parts behind. We just form layers upon layers like an onion or like a sedimentary rock. And we also have various roles in life, right? In families, community, at work, at play. We have different relationships. We might be parents, we might have children, or we might have spouses, friends. At various times, a particular role or part will take the foreground depending on where we are and with whom. And all these parts that have accumulated over a lifetime are not always in harmony. How many times have you found yourself in conversation or perhaps even in an argument with yourself, taking different sides? Someone might ask you, what do you think of? And you might say, well, part of me feels like this, but there's another part that feels like that. So there may be a part of you that says, ooh, go get the carton of ice cream and eat it all up. And another part that says, no, just one scoop. Now, did you notice those parts had different voices? They were probably different ages. The one that was saying, yeah, go eat all of it, is probably quite young. doesn't care about the consequences. And the older one is, no, just one scoop, is the older responsible one, right? They're different parts. So in psychoanalysis in the past, I think it was started by Freud, sort of posited that having more than one personality was actually pathological. And now I think more and more psychotherapy is realizing that we all have different parts, all these different roles and ages that are layered inside of us, and that's actually quite healthy. The dysfunction, the disorder, is when these parts don't know each other, don't talk to each other, and are working at odds against each other. So there is a therapeutic model called internal family systems therapy. Has anybody heard of that? Yeah, some people. Which has really brought this idea of parts into the forefront and really normalized it. And in this practice, the idea is to differentiate between these parts, to get to know them, respect what each is trying to do, their point of view, and then be able to harmonize, integrate them. And one of the key ways to do this is to realize when we are blended with a part, when we have identified with a part, when we are that part. And then to realize that when we can unblend from that part, when we can step back, or that part can step back, that there is this awareness that can be present, what in IFS they talk about as self with a capital S. In Buddhism, we actually refer to this as no self or not self. When the part steps back, we no longer take it to be our core identity, and we discover that there is a state of pure, open, receptive awareness and acceptance without judgment or agendas. Self is what remains when parts, or self or not self in Buddhist terms, is what remains when parts are willing to unblend from us. We find our core, our essence, our true nature. And I'm reading this from the Internal Family Systems Therapy New Dimensions book. From that core, uncontrived, or what we would say unconditioned state, we discover that basic wholesome qualities emanate spontaneously. For instance, we don't become compassionate and kind. Kindness and compassion are already there, as are many other positive attributes. They are innate. And these are the same qualities that all the great traditions, spiritual traditions, identify. In IFS, this self is characterized by the eight C's: curiosity, confidence, compassion, courage, clarity, calm, and connectedness. Do these qualities sound familiar? They're the characteristics of mindfulness. And we don't have to strive for them. If we try, they will elude us. Instead, they naturally arise as we practice. Because beneath all of the conditioned reactivity of our parts, there is a whole compassionate presence that has always been there. It is the goal that lies under the layers of conditioning, and it's called Buddha nature. We don't really talk about that in Theravadin tradition. It's something that is very prominent in Mahayana and Vajrayana Buddhist teachings. There's a story about a clay statue in Bangkok. One day there was a crack in this large clay statue, and something shiny was showing through. And so they began to remove bits of this clay, only to realize the entire statue was made of gold. It had been covered in clay to protect it from being pillaged by marauding armies hundreds of years before. Just like that statue, our conditioning covers us in protective layers that make us more rigid and keeps our light from shining. So how do we uncover this Buddha nature? We learn about our conditioning. we begin to realize that we oftentimes are stuck in these patterns of reactivity based on our conditioning. And we begin to take off these layers of what is unconscious so we can reveal the true nature beneath the self-protective things that no longer serve us. So in the moment we are aware of being triggered into reactivity, we can notice, oh, there's a strong emotion here. Maybe it's anger, or maybe it's sadness or fear. So that's a part that arises, this emotion that's gotten triggered as a part. Another part might have a judgment about this feeling. Oh, I do not like this. I do not want you here. Fear, anger, sadness, right? And then another part might jump in to suppress that emotion. Oh, nope, not going to let you go there. And another part might try to distract us. Oh, let's go do something else. Let's go shopping. Let's go watch TV. So the moment that we can see all of these parts, the emotion that arises, the judgment, the need to suppress it or to go do something else, these are all parts of us. And then we can actually step back and we're no longer caught in the emotion or the judgment or the suppression or the distraction. We are not clinging to this and we're not pushing it away, right? We're not clinging or aversive. We are able to be with it in equanimity, with kindness and compassion. I see you, I hear you, I feel you, I'm here for you. So when we can do this, we are naturally in Buddha nature. So just taking a moment to see if we can touch into this just very briefly. Feel like closing your eyes and taking a longer, slower breath in and out, and just connecting with what might be present here for you. Is there some kind of a feeling, a thought, a sensation that really wants to be seen? What wants my awareness now? And see what arises. And then you might say, I'm sensing whatever it is, an emotion, a thought, a sensation. And I'm acknowledging that this part is here. And I'm sensing if it's okay just to be with it. And I'm letting it know that I hear it, I see it, I feel it. Being here with curiosity and care. And if there are any judgments that are present, acknowledging that part too. Maybe there's a part that wants to turn away, do something else. Seeing that part and saying to all the parts that are present, you're welcome here. You belong. then thanking each part for showing up, letting them know you can come back and visit them again. Taking a deeper breath in and out. Just noticing if there was any ability to connect with any of these qualities of mindfulness, of awareness, curiosity, compassion, clarity, calm, connectedness, confidence, courage, or any other qualities of mindfulness that were present there for you. Buddha nature is the enlightened aspect of us that is waiting to be remembered. It is our highest potential, our true original nature, ever-present awareness, compassion, and wisdom, unchanging, radiant, and spacious. Like the sun, this enlightened aspect of our being is always there, forever shining, despite the changing weather of a confused mind. To become a Buddha is to identify as the radiant, warm, and giving sun versus the storms that sometimes cloud over. We come to realize that Buddha nature is not something outside of ourselves. It is something that has been there all along. And that's from an article called What is Buddha Nature? On a website called MindWorks. So I would like to thank you for being here today, for your practice, and dedicate the merit to the Buddha nature within. May we all release ourselves from the clay coverings of our conditioned reactivity, so that we can uncover the gold within and let our light shine. So thank you for being here.